Welcome to the Rights Radio Power Hour. I'm your host, Dr. Joyce Starr. The Power Hour is brought to you by starpublications.com, that's star with two R's, and by our media site, rightsradio.com, where your consumer, homeowner, health, and safe pet care rights have a permanent address. Arizona's classical rock band, Element 115, is among the most unique rights-driven acts of our time. Element 115's Al the Alien Drummer is even running for president. And today, I have with us as our guest, the founder and producer and musician, Michael McPherson. Welcome, Michael.
Hello, Dr. Joyce.
So nice to have you on the show.
Nice to hear you.
This is going to be rockin' rights.
Well, if we're going to do music, we may as well do it rights.
Okay. Well, why don't we start talking about 115 and the meaning of the name of Element 115?
Okay. First of all, we call it Element 115.
Right.
And,
sorry.
No problem. And what Element 115 is, as released by a physicist and reverse engineer from captured UFO craft, Bob Lazar. He reported back in, I believe it was the early 90s, that he had been working on reverse engineering some craft at Area 51 S4 at Groom Lake in Nevada. And, of course, the military never admitted, and the government never admitted that the place even existed. But sure enough, anybody who traveled there and shot video knew that it not only existed, but they were flying experimental craft there over the dry lake bed. He revealed that in reverse engineering these captured spacecraft, that the fuel source was a triangle of element 115. Now, element 115 isn't found on Earth. They have synthesized a couple of atoms of it for a very short time in a lab, at least that's what was reported. but this element has the unique characteristic in that the strong gravity force, that's the gravity force that holds protons together, if you buy the whole atomic theory, that gravity force is actually extends beyond the nucleus of the atom so that it can be detected with sensors in any electromagnetic signal. That can be detected, can be amplified and directed. So if you could amplify and direct the strong gravity force, you can bend the time-space fabric and basically jump huge distances immediately. And so through Mr. Lazar's public release of this information, we realized that about the most powerful force on Earth would be element 115. So that's what we'll call our band.
When did you do that? How old is the band?
The band has actually been together in some form or another since 1995. And 1995, I think that Lazar had just released his videotape, and I bought 5 copies of it to give to everybody because I thought it was so amazing. And so the first version of Element 115 had all Earth people in it, and it was... the writer of the song Smoke that's going to be coming up later was actually in the band at that time as well. And, the goal was, obviously to, you know, write original music that sounds good and is popular to multiple generations and make a family show and sing about things that are important. And so that band, we went over and recorded a CD in LA, came back and the band problems, political problems between bands that happen, you know, every day of the week, happened, and that band broke up shortly after we recorded our CD. And so, I was, wanting to find other people to fill in slots that had been vacated, and I just couldn't find a drummer who had the vision of bringing classic rock back by writing new material, but utilizing the genre to its fullest, and had an electronic kit because we wanted to be totally in control of our volume. And as so many parents of drummers know, controlling the volume on an acoustic drum set is nearly impossible. So we're looking for those two things, a vision of the future of music, which we see as you know, classic rock's resurgence, and a digital set. So in failing to find somebody that met all of our requirements, the keyboard player who was playing with the band at the time said, well, why don't you just make one? And I started saying, yeah, and he could be a drummer who's a virtual and an alien. Now, that would be really cool. And the keyboard player says, yeah, if you can do that, well, that's a challenge. And I never turned down a challenge.
Right.
So 2 weeks later, I had engineered this alien drummer in his first iteration, and he drummed with his fingers back then. He had long fingers, and he just used his fingers to drum with. And I, it was a single kick drum set, very, very thin, laid back, and I had him drumming to the old song, All Right Now, which, Free did. It's a great classic rock tune that everybody's heard probably a million times.
Yes, I remember.
And still, people like to hear it. And, when I showed that, then, oh man, the magic started happening. Everybody got excited and said, wow, if we could only, you know, and then the dreams started going, wow, if Japan could see this, and, you know, these kind of things. So that version of Al went for about 2 years. And then one day the keyboard player again said to me, he needs sticks. He needs to be more active. He needs to be, you know, a cooler drum set. He needs, you know, all these kind of things. So, of course, I said, it's easy for you to say, you know, you don't have to actually design it and build it. He says, well, if you could do that. So I, you know, spent the next couple of months actually trying to find a more time-efficient method than frame-by-frame animation of making this drummer, you know, do his thing. And to do one song took me about 40 hours of animating labor.
Oh, my.
And to do, you know, we have 60 songs that we want to do. That's just going to take years. I just couldn't see that happening. So being a computer programmer in about 5 different languages, I figured out the way to do this would be to make it where I could hand a MIDI file, which is a MIDI is a language that instruments speak to each other and to computers. So if I could take this MIDI file and put it into a program and have Al play whatever that MIDI file is, it won't matter. No matter what I hand him, he'll play it. Then I could do this, you know, for real, with hundreds of songs and only take, you know, an unknown short amount of time to do it. So I wrote a program that is a MIDI to animation converter. And so, I sit here in a studio. I'm also the drummer, and I sit here in a studio and I drum up the song and I hand that file, that MIDI file, to my program, and Al plays it on time, each drum, each cymbal, even the kick drum. When he kicks the kick drum, the head blurs with our Element 115 logo. I mean, you can see his little knee moving behind the hi-hat when he lifts the hi-hat up and down. It's very detailed, and so I made this file. So now, if I want to do a new song, I can sit here and do the drum track in and have Al ready to play it on the big video wall in less than an hour.
Well, let's give the URL to your website.
Oh, okay.
Right now, up front, so that in case anybody wants to rush over there, they can go to Wright's Radio and see the video, but there's nothing like seeing it up front and personal.
You can go to element115theband.com. Element,
okay.
The number 115, element115theband.com. There's
and
video,
can,
there's
course,
a jukebox up there, there's a whole list of songs that we do, and lots of pictures of this alien.
And I have 2 videos on rightsradio.com, but I wanted them to have the experience of visiting your website, because it is an experience.
Well,
and
you.
One of the things I love about Al, and it's A-L, capital A-L, is that Al believes in the rights of the one over the opinion or desires of the masses. He has a point of view. Is that not correct?
Al you know, it's sort of an alter ego outlet for me. Al sees Earth from a much larger perspective than most of us get the opportunity to do, unless you happen to do soul travel. And if you're fortunate enough to do soul travel, then you can go outside the Earth. You can see the curvature of the Earth. Pretty soon you're looking at Earth as a sphere in the distance. And Al has the ability to view Earth and humanity and their problems from a much bigger perspective, and he shares that with me. Of course, this is all inside my head, right?
Yes, of course.
and what it does though, but if you put yourself in those shoes, as it were, then you can start to, if you remove yourself emotionally from the humans and look at what they're all doing to each other, or certain key ones are doing to the masses anyway, then you quickly realize that the more you do nothing, the more of the same is going to happen. And that is why we all have to take peaceful, clear, vivid instructions to the universe and execute them. You know, we have to see what it is that we want, not what we don't want. If you talk about what you don't want, the don't is an adverb. You know, it's like it's ignored by the universe. It only sees the noun and the verb. So if you say, I don't want a plane to crash, the universe sees, oh, plane crash. Okay? So what you do want to see is what you focus on. And Al wants to see us learn to step out of our diapers and start taking care of our own lives.
Now, you are personally what you would describe as a warrior for defending the rights of others. Is that not the case?
Well, that's how the song Warrior, which is on our album, came to be. Actually, Warrior was written a long, long time ago. And I updated and changed and rewrote the song specifically in response to the Kelo v. New London decision, which was, you know, ground-smashing, as the pun may take that, because it was the first ruling upheld by the Supreme Court where a government could take private property, not for public works use, not to build a military base or a freeway, but to put a new building up to generate more tax revenue for the state. And that's so flagrantly in contrast to the guidelines of the Constitution that I just have a hard time standing here even saying it without just, you know, pulling my hair out and screaming, because private property was sacrosanct. Private life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness started out life, liberty, and property. These are the words of Tom Jefferson, good friend of mine, great guy. He understood that the people have to ultimately be responsible for themselves, because when you acquiesce your responsibility to someone else, you no longer have control or vision on your own future. And that's...
Could you share the terrain, I mean, just a few lines of that song? Because we're not going to play it today. We will play it another time.
Of Warrior?
The language, yes, it's so powerful. So
sure.
Perhaps you could just...
I'll read off the first two verses for you. Lords
okay.
clash and peasants starve. Our most precious gift in pieces carved. From the Creator worth more than gold. The right to live outside the mold. The right of liberty, if truth be told, the right to buy, to own, to hold. Honorless judges swing gavels down. Homeowner sleeps now on a bench downtown. No scream of anger from young or old. No right to live outside the mold. No right of liberty, if truth be told. No right to buy, to own, or hold. And the chorus
it really reason, yeah.
The chorus is, the warrior's born to fight and die, never doubts himself because he knows why, follows the learnings as they are taught, for freedom's sake he questions not.
Well, it just goes right through the heart, and especially in today's economic and political turmoil.
We
what
were
you
playing
then, right.
we were playing a couple of years ago at a Barrett Jackson show, car show, and this right around 60-year-old guy with jeans and a cowboy hat comes walking up, and he's standing in front of where we're playing, and we played Warrior, and he was in tears. And it was at that moment that I realized the power of that song. If that song, see, there are a handful of bands in the country who are focusing on rights, just like the great bands of the 60s that basically stopped Vietnam by motivating people. And we're one of those handful. And in the West, we're about the only ones that I know of. But it's up to all you listeners out there. It's up to all the freedom-loving, rights-driven people who want to take action to support the groups who are doing this for you, just like the people supported Bob Dylan and Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Buffalo Springfield, okay? The people have to support these by going out to the websites and writing how much they like the music and going to the shows and telling their friends about it, because if you don't like what's going on right now, listeners, if you don't like the direction that the Republicans are taking this country, then there's only one way to change it, peacefully, because it can't be with bullets anymore. Their weapons are much too strong. Take my word for it. I worked in the weapons industry for 10 years, and I can tell you that there's no way that 300 million people with AK-47s are going to take this country back by force. It's got to be peaceful, lawful means. And by lawful, I mean the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. If you utilize that wonderful construction of words to protect your rights, then your rights are protected. You only have the rights that you know and can defend. Because there's lots of bullies out there trying to take your lunch money from you. Look at the Patriot Act.
We know that. Well, now we have about 2 minutes until Smoke comes on. And I chose Smoke because I love the sound. I have rock and roll is in my heart, and I just love the sound of Smoke, even though it wasn't one of your foremost rights tracks. But I thought people would enjoy it very much, so I wanted them to hear it. But until we get there in a very short time, let's talk for a moment about your dose of Element 115, pleading for listeners to give up pharmaceutical poisoning.
Absolutely. We are, all of us in this group, 100% against chemical infiltration on the grand design. And while there are times when you may need an antibiotic to kill a bacteria or a virus, there's no drug on earth that you should take every day for the rest of your life. And so what we've done is it's the only song in the world with phenometrazine tartrate in it, I guarantee you. What it does is it just says, hey, let's just get high, as it were, on rock and roll. You know, if you're feeling like a bad day, put on a great song that you love. Put a smile on your face. It doesn't take a chemical.
It really doesn't.
Thing is with even, I have a couple of friends who are in the hospital industry, you know, and they're making their living off of medical dispense. They love the song. So, even if you're a doctor, you should listen to it.
Well, why don't you give us a refrain from that song, and we'll hopefully be segueing into Smoke soon.
on Dose is, it starts off with, my food's chock full of sodium chloride. Brush every night with sodium fluoride, but my blood pressure's high and my teeth are decayed. Methylphenidate gets me awake, y'all. Diphenhydramine to get through the night, all. Big Pharma's sucking all my money away. And then the chorus is, just a dose of Element 115 is what I need. And this is very repetitive, so you get the hook. And it's very hooky. The chorus, people listen to the chorus and then they're singing it for the next half hour or so.
I can understand why.
There was smoke coming from our eyes. It's the very first time we met.
what were your major influences?
Well, the very first concert that I went to, I was about 14 years old, and I went to Yes. Yes also had Spirit and Ace opening for them. And Spirit was a very political group. They had a song called Fresh Garbage, which is all about how people are so wasteful creating these landfills instead of utilizing their products and recycling. Yes is just a very intelligent, Yes and Rush, I call intelligent bands, because they're, first of all, very amazing musicians and go far beyond the blues box when they play. But they're also very, how should I say, detail-oriented in their lyric construction. It's not cheesy AC/DC lyrics. Not that I don't like AC/DC, but you know exactly what they're talking about, and it's only going to be one or two subjects. Yes and Rush go beyond the norm and really are amazing musicians and lyricists. So Yes, I think I went to every show Yes had in Phoenix between 1974 and 1994. Just loved their shows. Now Carla is the bass player. She's a whole, she's stronger on the metal side. She's into Megadeth and Alice Cooper and but then she likes Pat Metheny, and so she goes, you know, she's got quite the gamut of stuff that she likes. Jess, he's 17. He's our son and keyboardist guitarist in the group. And Jess, he's into, he loves classic rock, all those hair bands, you know, the big hair and spandex bands, Warrant and Rat and Def Leppard, and, you know, these kind of, he's definitely into that stuff. And Al, he just loves old classic rock.
And I imagine he loves people, because he certainly gets crowds.
Yes, he's, and if the crowd is deep enough, he'll pick up a pair of binoculars from behind the drums and he'll peek out and look out in the back row and wave.
And what about his candidacy for president, which is quite interesting?
That was so funny. As a Flash developer, I occasionally run across new, abilities for the program before the general public does. And somebody put a template out there that allowed you to put in a candidate's name and have it create this Flash module. And they put it on the web, so it's free. And I went and did it, and it started going around pretty good. That thing was making second time around circles on the internet, you know, when you send something out and all of a sudden you start getting it back where people don't know that you sent it.
Right.
So Al was, you know, and certainly Al would be a much better choice than either of the two people that they ended up with. So I was kind of hoping it would go a little further. Could you imagine Al as president?
Well, what about just the next time around? Isn't he running again?
If there is an election in 2012, I'll be very surprised, because I don't think there's really going to be a United States as such in 2012. The North American Union is all but finished now. They've already got the Amero, the new money, printed. Canada, the United States, and Mexico are basically going to be one political entity. And I think that's going to happen before 2012.
So you see a dissolution of the two major political parties?
Well, no, they're still one party. The Republicrats are one party. Let's just get real. The only time that they ever fight each other is when the camera's rolling, because all they're after is everything that you and I have. And as long as the two of them can trick you and I into arguing in favor of one or the other, then they win and we lose. So though I'd love to see a dissolution of party politics entirely, because I think that's really the demise of the Constitutional Republic, was the formation of parties and the power that they wield. And until that happens, though, a third candidate isn't going to get any airtime or have any chance of being elected. And also, got to remember that the president isn't elected by the people. The president is elected by the states. what very few people learn anymore because schools don't teach it, is that the Constitution let a balance exist between the people and the states at the federal level. It created the federal entity with equal representation from the states, that was the Senate, and the people, that was the House. And the Senate was not elected by the people at that time. The Senate was elected by the state representatives. Now, the people, theoretically, if you believe there's such thing as real voting, elect the senators and the representatives. And still, the president is elected by the Electoral College, which are state representatives. Now, each state can have certain guidelines that say, well, if the popular vote is this way, then we'll vote that way. But they don't have to. They vote, the electors vote their, the way they want to vote or the way they're paid to vote, whichever the case may be. And so we have this illusion that the popular vote is what elects the president, when in fact that has nothing to do with who gets the president in office.
You have very strong views. Does that affect your music in the sense that it gets you a backlash or any problems, or do you feel that it's gaining a great following?
Well, I think that certainly there are people out there who just assume we didn't say anything. And some family members of the band may be some of those. But no great change ever happened by not rocking a boat. So there's a saying I think I've seen on the internet that no polite woman has ever made history. It's one of those things that there has to be waves made in order to shift the status quo. And if anybody... Here's something I got to tell you about. Mensa is a group of really bright people, okay? Really intelligent people, a group of geniuses. And the Mensa test is 90% pattern recognition. If you see the A, B, and C, what comes next? That's what most of the questions are on a Mensa test. And people who can see those patterns and the outcomes that are going to happen, most likely going to happen because of those patterns, are the people that they really would rather not have talking about this stuff. But pattern recognition happens to be my thing. So when I see that history over history, the people have been fooled. And then 30 years later, the people have been fooled. And then 40 years later, the people have been fooled. And it's all the same card trick that's making it happen. Then I know what's going to happen in 3 or 4 years. People are going to get fooled. The only way that we can change that is to throw new data into the series. This data happening to be people waking up from their sleep, realizing that their government is doing nothing but robbing them blind, and the responsibility is on the people to keep their servant government in check. You know, it's up to us. We can blame nobody but ourselves. I blame my parents, I blame my grandparents, I blame me, because we spent a number of years here not acting on the problem. And if you have a leak in your radiator and you don't plug it, your radiator will go dry. I guarantee it, the radiator will go dry and you'll burn your engine out. And right now, the leak is in the funding process through this country, the monetary process, it's leaking big. The hole is getting bigger. It's getting huge. And there's trillions of dollars being put on our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren on what right now is nothing but rewarding bad investment and lawbreakers.
But in your view, why? What is the benefit of bankrupting the nation? Obviously, it doesn't take, as we discussed before, a rocket scientist to see that a $10 trillion debt down the road is not a healthy phenomenon.
It can't be paid.
Yeah, why?
It's there to crash the system. The policy that's being done right now is being put in place to redistribute the wealth from the middle class to the elite. It's just making more and more poor people, It's lowering the standard of living of all the humans to a certain point. Now, if you're below that point and you're getting a handout, if you all you've had to eat today is a piece of bread and you get handed a jar of peanut butter, boy, are you grateful for that jar of peanut butter. But
unless
if you own an entire pantry full of food and they came in and took it all and left you with a jar of peanut butter, how happy are you going to be with that? Well, there's a lot of
As
people.
You mentioned, yeah? You mentioned, of course, your song about property rights, but now we understand there's something afoot. Maybe you can explain it a little bit better than the commentators that we're hearing on air, to give the government the power to take companies?
That's called socialism. Yeah, that's
no, but this is something new. This is something new that the government, and perhaps you could go into it a little bit.
It's not new in the world, certainly.
Right.
This is called socialism, and eventually communism. And while I don't have an aversion to communism based on the word or some context that's been thrown at us by media, I do have an objection to communism in that you don't get what you make. You don't get that. It's to each their needs from each their ability. So if your ability is to do 20 times what the next guy is, then you have to do 20 times what the next guy is, but you only get paid for one. That's really the ultimate outcome. And it's so antithetic to the form of government that was instituted here. When you've got nothing is more inefficient at doing anything than government. I mean, government took over the Mustang Ranch in Nevada on tax evasion. The Mustang Ranch, that's a prostitute. That's a legal prostitution house in Nevada. But they had tax issues that they didn't take care of, and the government took over this house of prostitution. It went broke. Now, if the government can't even sell sex and booze, how the heck are they going to be able to efficiently solve a medical problem?
Are you telling me the government ran that house of prostitution, or
they
what did they do with it?
They ran it into the ground, Joyce. They made it go broke.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe they were taking all their Washington friends over there and giving them freebies. I don't know. I really don't want to go there. But what I'm pointing out is nothing is less efficient at anything than government. So now we're going to give the government businesses? The government couldn't run the post office, for gosh sakes. They had to go private.
But let's come back to your point of view, which is that one has to do something positive. That's really been the theme, I think, of your life.
Right.
Take positive action.
Right.
And what happened is that, you know, whether we were presented with two candidates who are more or less equal in some ways, at least we are told that their policies would have led in different directions. One has the feeling that John McCain would not have proposed a $3.6 or $7 trillion budget that would have led to a $10 trillion deficit. I might be wrong, but that's the impression.
Well,
people had the right to vote, you know, and this is what they voted in.
Well, who started this whole, who was in control when this whole transference of private enterprise to public control started? George W. Bush
right.
was at the helm. The Republicans were at the helm when it came to initializing all the issues that resulted in these problems. Then the Democrats took control and did more. So again, there is no difference between a Republican and a Democrat. That's why I call them Republicans. And I'm talking, now, that's a rule. And there's exceptions to every rule. The non-party supported party politicians, like Dennis Kucinich for the Democrats and Ron Paul for the Republicans, these guys are both good guys. I would vote for either one of them. I would vote for both of them. I think they'd make a great team. Ron Paul actually understands monetary policy. He's written books on it. He knows the damage that happened during the Nixon administration when the gold standard was broken. You know, it's insane to have a money policy backed in nothing but people's belief that it has value. And that's what we have today. That's what the Federal Reserve System is now. It's printing of money and entering into a computer numbers that have no basis in reality except that you think they do. How long can that last?
Perhaps another decade.
I don't think so. I think it's a rate to go.
I don't know. The Chinese are just this week proposing a new monetary system, a replacement for the dollar. You just mentioned at the beginning of the show that there is a new currency afoot that we don't know about. Wait a minute. We're hearing about mixed currencies. Which is it?
Well, China is doing two things. Number one, they're partnering with Russia and talking about doing a currency backed in gold. The day they do that is the day the U.S. will invade them. It's the same thing that Iraq did. Iraq stopped taking U.S. dollars for oil. And immediately, they were taking euros and Krugerrands and all kinds of other currencies. They stopped taking dollars. Immediately, they were invaded and the oil companies were taken over. The second thing that's going on, the first thing I said is they're partnering with Russia to make a new monetary unit that's backed in gold. Secondly, China has already been shipped 800 billion Ameros. Now, the Amero is the new coin and bill coming out to replace the dollar when they crash the dollar. If it weren't real, you wouldn't have pictures of them and people holding coins who have gotten them snuck out, and China would have crashed the economy a lot earlier, which means that these guys who are in the lead positions wouldn't be making off with their bonuses. Okay? What they did by shipping China 800 billion of these Ameros, what they did was they said, look, we're going to give you, here's the money, because, you know, the U.S. owes them. So here's the money that's going to be the future. Hang on to this. Don't sell your dollars off yet. You'll have a chance to do that. We just need some time. And they still were running out of propping up this artificial monetary system. And so they did that first quote-unquote bailout. But they only passed, remember the first time that they voted on the bailout, it failed. And 2 weeks later, it passed. Well, in that 2 weeks, members of Congress were visited saying there's going to be martial law if you vote no on this. And that's coming.
I'm
right.
A little confused. I'd like you to go back to these $800 billion Ameros.
Right.
You're telling me that we have something coming online that most of us don't know about.
Right.
And yet this week the Chinese were calling for a new currency. Were they in effect calling for what they know to be the Amero?
Why not? It sounds good to me. They didn't release the unit of denomination, but what's usually done in things like this is it's all done behind the scenes. Then there's a story concocted that the people can believe in, and they push it through. It's the Hegelian dialectic. They create a problem in order for them to pass something that they want to do, and that thing that they pass appears to be the solution to the problem. So it's the old Hegelian dialectic that they're playing here. Help, our monetary policy is broken. We need it fixed. Oh, here's this Amero.
So by saying publicly that the United States is against the Chinese proposal, it's in effect just a way of introducing a new currency that the Chinese already have in their banks.
Correct.
Or somewhere.
It's still not public in China either. But if you want to see the coin, if you want to see a 20 Amero coin, I believe if you go to, this is probably your competition, Hal Turner. I don't think he's on anymore. If you go to halturnershow.com, and I'm not plugging the show, I'm merely giving you the information to see the coin. I think there's a video online where you can, it's YouTube, I'm sure, where you can see him talking about it and holding up one of them. And I had already seen drawings of this 6 months prior. And next thing you know, he's on video after his syndicated sister network canceled him on YouTube holding up one of the coins talking about it. So, you know, I don't know how far you want to go with that.
Well, it sounds to me very interesting, because if there's 800 billion already shipped to China, then it must not be a very long time from now before we're going to be introduced to this bright new currency.
Indeed, and I really
6 months, a year.
I felt that by the end of 2008 that it was going to be here. So really, the only thing that's keeping it from coming in right now is a tragedy that the people will believe is real, like 9/11, and suck everybody in to being programmed to believe that something's happened in which this money is the only solution. Really, what it's going to do is I'm figuring, by my estimates of information that I read on this stuff all the time. I read the Hindustan Times, I read the Sydney Morning Herald, I read the Russian Pravda. I read, you know, all over the world's news in order to get these pieces of data that fit into a pattern so I can understand what's going to happen next. I figure that we're going to have a fake counterfeit problem, which the money's being counterfeited anyway by the Federal Reserve itself, but let's just say that for a moment that they're going to come up with this big counterfeit that's so pervasive that they have to pull the money out of circulation. And what they're going to do is they're going to give you one Amero for every $7. And the price of everything is going to come down to about half. So that really means you're going to be paying about 3.5 times more for everything you buy.
And maybe you heard it here first.
And you know,
maybe we're going to play the replay of this, you know, a few months from now and say you heard it first here. But it is the first that I've heard of it, and we hadn't planned to talk about it. But you're an awfully interesting guy with an incredible background. As we said, you really are a rocket scientist. You've done that and so many other things. It's impossible to imagine that you are also an industry leader in neo classic rock, but that's the person that you are. We're not sure if the music was played when we were talking. We didn't hear it, so we're not sure what happened there, but if it was played, then we kept talking right through it, and if it wasn't played, we've had a fabulous conversation, and we're going to continue right now. So my next question for you is, this is a little bit off the topic, but I had said that we were going to talk a little bit about music rights, and of course rights in music. Well, we did the latter, but I'd like to give you a chance to talk about music rights.
Well, as a lawyer, I take all of the possibilities of today's industry in account when I put music out there. But sometimes you just have to say, well, you know, if somebody steals this and somebody steals this, I got to get this song out there because I got to get the message out. But there are ways for the non-label, that's you and me out there, guitar players, to protect your intellectual property, your music. It's very affordable. And again, I don't get paid by these guys to refer them, and I'm sure that there's others out there that do similar tasks, but LegalZoom is a company based in California that it's so easy to utilize them to do the paperwork and do it right. Because copyright forms, if there's one little thing wrong, it's rejected. And these guys over at LegalZoom, they'll take your information, you can even do it online. Obviously, you have to send your material in if you've got a movie, a DVD, or something like that that you want to protect, and they have a copy of it. But you fill out the forms and pay the fee, and it's very reasonable. And the next thing you know, you're getting a piece of paper from them saying, we've sent this off to the Library of Congress, and in 2 months, you'll get a piece of paper with this number on it, and that'll be your copyright. And sure enough, 2 months later, you get something from the Library of Congress, has that number on it. But in the meantime, you've had that piece of paper saying that you paid for its copyright. So that's really the date you can use of first use, of protected first use of your intellectual property. So, on our album Element 115, Mike Jones wrote Smoke and I wrote eight of the songs and Carla wrote a song. So what I did was I just took my eight songs, put them together along with an audio CD and the lyrics, and then sent that to LegalZoom for one price. They came back, you know, these songs are all protected. And, in today's, digital world of music where you put something up and anybody around the whole world can take it, you need to do all you can to protect your rights just in case, you know, a Bill O'Coin who made Kiss and Billy Idol hears your song and says, hey, I can make something out of this. And you, all of a sudden you get $1 million because nobody wants what you have until you have $1 million and then everybody wants what you have. So it pays to protect it on the front end so that no matter what happens, you know, you're protected from people stealing from you. At least to the sense that
copyright. And you feel it works very well? Has it worked very well? Have you had any problems with this?
Never. I've run into really nice people. Now, our music is played on Canadian and British and American internet radio. And, I've never seen or heard of any of our songs being pirated and put up on another website or used as a commercial bed or anything like that. That, which of course we frown on greatly because we're not going to advertise for another product unless we're paid and it's a product that we agree with because we're a family show. You know, we're not going to, put Al's face on adult toys. You know, that just isn't going to happen. So,
right.
We want to make sure that we do, when we do sell rights to our music or lease rights to our music, that it's, something that the band agrees with and something that we get paid for.
And what about the poetry that you write? Now we'll call it that because your words are really poetry.
Well, thank you.
Do you find them appearing on websites that you didn't authorize? Anything like that?
Haven't yet. And
okay.
I hope that this stays that way. Now, the Armed Females of America heard the song Warrior, and they loved it and used it on their website for a while. But they asked me. I gave them permission. I'm a big Second Amendment guy. And for those of you, who are, can I talk about this for just a second? For those who are gun owners, and understand why the Second Amendment is the Second Amendment and not the 12th Amendment, know that the Second Amendment to the Constitution is the supreme law of the land and the supreme defense of the First Amendment. So no matter what they do with trying to register ammunition or any other bogus stuff, the supreme law of the land is the Constitution, and they cannot infringe on your right to keep and bear arms. But the only way that we're going to defend those rights is to exercise those rights. So I strongly suggest, if you've got the guts to do it, and I certainly do most of the time, is go outside with your gun on your hip. You know? Just wear it. Exercise the right. Because it isn't strange and people don't look at you all sideways if people are out there wearing their guns. Now, you can't go
well,
into a
bank
with
one. I'm not sure that that's the path that I want to go down or would go down, but I think what's interesting about you and your point of view is that you are a constitutionalist and you're a student and a professor, one might say, of the Constitution. And I think that's where you're coming from because on the other hand, you're talking about a peaceful approach to our rights and how that it won't be solved through guns. So that's
well,
what makes
but,
you
But I never
unusual.
Said to pull the gun out and fire it, did I?
Right, right.
It's just wearing it. It's just knowing that you can, and so you do. Now, odds are you're never going to need, in your lifetime, you're never going to need to pull that gun out of its holster. But having the right to wear it and have it in case you do ever run into that situation is what founded this nation. Because remember, the police, I don't know what, are you in, you're in Florida, I don't know the laws of Florida, but I do know the laws of Arizona, and a policeman is not obligated to help you no matter what's happening to you.
Really?
There's no obligation. You can be being robbed at gunpoint on the sidewalk, and a police officer does not have to stop and help you. So, since that is the law, how are you supposed to defend yourself?
That is, I think, I'm sorry, I'm just a little surprised here. Maybe, you know, it's, I shouldn't be surprised, but I think it's the first I've heard that.
Yeah, well, I don't know of any state, and I've certainly talked about this with other people, I don't know of any state where the police are required by law to help you if you're in trouble. And
yet they do.
Well,
and yet they do.
They will, but they don't have to. There are areas in L.A. where the cops won't even go. They won't even go down that block.
Right. True.
So,
it is.
So, you know, and I'm not saying that the laws aren't there to protect a policeman, because they deserve to be protected too. They're human beings. But on the other
right.
hand, what it all boils down to is we the people. Who's going to defend we the people if nobody is required by law to defend us, then who else is going to defend us? Blackwater sure isn't going to defend us. So that's why I think I have a similar take. If there's one nuclear weapon in the world, I have a similar view that every country should have nuclear weapons. Every country. If every country has nuclear weapons, nobody invades each other. Why? Because all the people would be dead. Just like when the Soviet Union and the United States had nuclear weapons, we didn't attack each other. Of course, that whole development was for a whole nother thing, which is outside the box, which is defending Earth against outside attack. But the point is, no superpower ever attacked another superpower when nuclear weapons were in place. Why? Mutual assured destruction. If everybody had a nuclear weapon, nobody would use them.
Do you fear the future with rogue nations? Do you see Iran, for example, as a major threat to the United States?
No.
Or is it all being dealt with behind the scenes in a way that we can't really see?
It's all being trumped up to make you believe that there is a threat. There is no threat. And so I look at the possibilities that there's never been, first of all, there's never been a terrorist attack on the United States.
I'd like you to, again, give ways that people can visit your website and contact you, and we're going to be closing in about 30 seconds, so please do that.
Okay. First, I'd say that I have nothing against the people of any country. It's only governments.
I understand that.
And to reach Element 115, go to element115theband.com, and you can listen to our whole album on a jukebox that I made in Flash for free. Enjoy it. Tell a friend about it, and if you're a person who's strong on your constitutional rights, read the law. Share it with a friend. Get them excited about it, too.
And this is Dr. Joyce Starr thanking Michael McPherson for joining us today with this very interesting discussion and fantastic music. This is Dr. Joyce Starr from RightsRadio.com and the Rights Radio Power Hour, and we will see you in 2 weeks on Wednesday at 2 o'clock Pacific Time and 5 o'clock Eastern Time. Bye-bye.